Anissa's chosen. It's taken from Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 34 through to 40. So Matthew 25. When we come in, this passage comes in the middle of a discourse that Jesus had, quite a long session. Jesus had a conversation with his disciples who had been asking him about the end times, what and when and where, when Jesus returns again. And this is a part of that conversation, and it's the part of what Jesus is saying about who will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. So Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me."
Sunday morning in San Nicolas, when I went to the church, I thought what I would be doing was just sharing a psalm in front of the service with the congregation. I soon found out I was leading the whole service in Spanish, and I just stood there and prayed, "Right, Lord, please do not let my language and me be an obstacle for what you want to say to these people today." And I think my prayer is the same this morning. So today's theme is compassion in mission. We've been looking at various themes in this mission series, but today it's compassion in mission. And I want to start by showing you some pictures of cheese. So here we have, on the left, we've got something called envueltos, and alongside it you can see there's cheese. The little balls are called buñuelos, and they're made of cheese and dough. Here we have ice cream cheese, or cheese ice cream, sorry, cheese-flavoured ice cream, and then a fruit salad with grated cheese on top. This here is called agua de panela. It's a sugary, it's sort of a sugarcane drink, and you're supposed to drop the cheese into it and drink it and enjoy. And then on the right, we have hot chocolate with cheese inside as well. Here, this is an arepa with a massive steak. As you can see, there's cheese on top of the arepa. We also have plantain with, this one's got cheese and something called bocadillo, which is sort of a sugary guava sweet. And then we also have plantain here with just a lot of cheese on top. And you may be wondering why I'm showing you lots of plates of food with cheese that I, and drinks with cheese that I encountered in Colombia. And it is purely because I want to say to you, if you don't take anything away from my sermon today, please take away that compassion in mission is like cheese in Colombia. It's got to be in everything. Right, so the first thing I did when I was coming to think about compassion was, what does the word actually mean? We use it quite a lot, but what does it mean? And one thing that I thought was really nice was in the song, it said, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And I think that, in one way, is a really lovely way of summing up compassion, because the Latin root of compassion is compati, and it means to suffer with. So that idea of having your heart broken for, well, in the song it's talking about what breaks God's heart. And that's something that I want to talk about, because you've got other words as well, like love, concern, empathy, tender-heartedness. But my argument is that compassion is not just a feeling, and that in the Bible it's modeled with action. there's always a feeling of compassion that someone, usually in the examples I'm going to show you, God or Jesus, that they have a feeling of compassion, but it's always followed by action. That it's not just, oh yeah, that's something really sad, that really breaks my heart, but oh well, I'll move on with my day, eat my cheese and my hot chocolate. going a bit fast. So, like I said, it's modeled in, compassion is modeled in the Bible. And we can start with God and the verse John 3:16 that we all know. Because God had so much love for us. It says that he had so much love for us, which I think we could also substitute the word compassion for us, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He had all of this feeling of compassion on his people and on us, that he wanted to do something about it, and he sent his son Jesus. So there we see compassion as a motivation for action. And let's talk about Jesus now as well. So obviously Jesus was, God sent Jesus out of his motivation for compassion. And Jesus lived as a human on the face of the earth. He suffered the limits of the flesh, the pains of this world, and obviously inevitably death on the cross as part of God's plan of compassion for us. During this time on earth, I've now got a few verses to show how God modeled, Jesus modeled compassion on earth. And here we have Matthew 14, and it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This is part of the story of feeding the 5,000. So he'd just gotten off the boat, and he saw this massive crowd of people. A lot of them were sick, and he immediately decided to heal them of their sick. Obviously, we're not necessarily called to jump off boats and go and just heal crowds of people, but if that is something you're called to, please do it. Here we have another example. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. So here is a very good example of, again, Jesus having compassion on the blind in a group. One of the other key things about how Jesus modeled compassion is that often he was ministering to a person as a whole. What do I mean by that? I mean that he wasn't just addressing physical needs, such as them being sick or being blind, in other cases being hungry. We have the example here in Mark 8 of when he fed those who were hungry. He had compassion on them. If I send some of them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. So he was very keen on ministering to the person as a whole, their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And I think that's a great model for us. I have one last example of the Samaritan woman, and it's talking about, she's talking about literal thirst, going to the well, when Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. All of these are really good examples of how he cared about our physical needs and our spiritual needs. And that was one thing about the project that I was part of. And there are many projects, part of World Vision, part of Tear Fund, Latin Link, and they have a base idea. For example, the Comedor was about feeding. It's called Comedor Pan y Vida, bread and life. So our primary day-to-day was giving 130 children meals every day. But through that, what we wanted to do was show each child that they were loved and that they weren't loved just by us in the project, but that they were loved by a greater God, someone who loved them eternally and no matter what they had done. And so that was our spiritual nourishment as well as physical nourishment. So the passage that we read today is sort of a... it comes across as a bit of a reflection, because it's Jesus talking about the end times and what is, who will be accepted into the kingdom of heaven by what they have done. And as we read, it talks about the kingdom being prepared for those who fed the people who were hungry, the people who were thirsty, who visited those who were in prison, who cared for the sick, and provided clothes for those who had none. He starts off by saying, that you fed me, that you looked after me when I was a stranger. And it says that the righteous asked, but when did we see you, Jesus, like that? And he says this wonderful bit at the end. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So he's saying that each action of compassion that we do here on this earth for our brothers and sisters, for those who are in need, for those who are hungry, those who are in prison, those who are living in difficult family situations, those who are out in Colombia, those who are in Chad, each action of compassion is an act of compassion on behalf of God, that we are doing it on behalf of him, that we are demonstrating Christ. This is what I love about our vision here, I guess, is that it says to demonstrate Christ. And we've talked about how Christ modeled it in the Bible. It's quite a simple model. I mean, he did heal masses of crowds of people, but we can take it a step back and work up to that. So it's something quite easy to model, but you do have to be, I would argue that you have to be intentional about it. And it doesn't come as naturally to us as it did to Jesus and to God. And then I've put up here as well, Colossians 3:12. And it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I love that it says clothe yourself, because what do we do every morning when we get up? We get dressed. And that's that action of intention, that you have to think about, what am I going to wear today? And you have to think about putting it on. It doesn't just magically... I had to think about putting this shirt that tells you how to spell Columbia on today, very intentionally. And the idea is the same with being compassionate daily, that it has to be intentional, that we have to do it with purpose. And some of it should come from knowing God. And that verse that Sheila read out this morning as well, from Corinthians, was it? Was really... it resonated as well, because it was about how we have received so much compassion and we've had comfort lavished on us, that should then be an outpouring, an outworking on those that we come into contact with, a receival and then a giving. And here we have Psalm 145:9, and this is talking about God's character of compassion again. The Lord is good to all he has. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. That says to me that God loves us even when we don't love his creation. He loves us even when we don't love others. He loves us even when we don't love ourselves. And he loves us even, he loves those who don't even love him. And I think that is the utmost example of compassion, that it's not biased, that it's not limited, and it's not restricted by context or by someone's value in society. And it's unconditional. And I think if we want to become more like Christ and more like God in how we live a life of compassion, we have to draw closer to this God of compassion. So that we can live in his likeness. Again, that 2 Corinthians verse that Sheila read. With that, I have a story about a lady. I don't know if... So it's a lovely picture. It's not really... This is the only serious picture we had, because this is Rebecca, and she is a Venezuelan who came to the project in the time that I was there with her 2 children, and later, more of her family came over from Venezuela as well. She was a really, really fun character, really silly. Here we are, pulling silly faces. And she was very, very servicial. Is that a word, servicial? Servant-hearted. I think I made that up. Sorry, I do that sometimes now that I speak Spanish. She came to Venezuela with nothing, with her children and her husband, and she heard of this project and signed her children up to it because she knew that they needed to be fed and she wanted the best for them. And she also asked if she could be involved in the kitchen, if she could help prepare meals, cook, serve up for the children. We said, of course, we welcome everyone, come and help us. And she came every day and we had really, really good fun in the kitchen, not always working very hard. And one day, all the volunteers were having lunch afterwards. We always do that. We sit in the kitchen and we talk and we have our own lunch. And the topic of conversation that day started to shift towards Venezuela and what was happening. And for those of you who don't know, there's a massive crisis going on at the moment with the government and the economy. And basically, thousands of Venezuelans are leaving Venezuela and walking or finding other modes of transport to get out of the country because there's just nothing there for them. So San Nicolas, the neighborhood I was in, would receive daily new Venezuelans. And the project was being overwhelmed in terms of capacity because of the need of the Venezuelans as well. So they were talking about the economy and the president and all of this trouble. And then they started, a couple of them, who are not Christians, but help out in the Comedor, the project, started talking about how all Venezuelans were rats and dogs and that they were all here to steal and that they didn't care for the Venezuelans, they should get out of their country. And I remember being quite shocked because I was thinking, well, you obviously know that's not true, that it's not all of them, because here's Rebecca freely coming every day to help us in the project, to not only help just because her kids were in there, she wanted to make sure that everyone was fed well and that each child received their meal for the day. And I remember just feeling really, really shocked. I was like, I can't believe they're saying this to her face. And it got quite heated and quite awful, if I'm honest, although I couldn't say much because I was just trying to keep up with the Spanish. And I remember afterwards talking about it with some of the volunteers who are part of the church who were there. And we were reflecting on it. And we were talking about compassion and how their compassion, because it didn't come from a knowledge of God or a knowledge of his compassion on us and his grace and mercy on us, was very limited, that it was, you might even say that it was partly self-serving because they were compassionate on those they wanted to and those that, that in some way received that compassion, but others didn't because of something they had done. And it was very much, oh, I got robbed one time by a Venezuelan, therefore all Venezuelans are rats and dogs, and that I can't feel sorry for them, they should go back to their country. And I think that just made me think a lot more about how we're called not to have a biased or a limited or restricted vision of compassion and character of compassion. Because that's not what Jesus said. As we go back to this verse, he has compassion on all he has made. There are no T's and C's or small print that says, oh no, except for those Venezuelans, or except for that person. So this is the verse that Sheila, I was very happy when she used it because I was like, I know I've got this one in my PowerPoint. That it's an outflowing of the compassion that God has had on us to those around us. And so, and Jesus modeled it as well. As we watch Christ, or as we read about Christ in the Bible, we should learn to love those who Christ loved. And who did he love? Everyone. He ministered to this Samaritan woman that was supposedly not supposed to interact with Jesus, that Jesus was not supposed to interact with this woman. He didn't listen to the rules of society, because he knew that he had a greater calling of compassion. So the call to be compassionate is in the everyday, like this cheese that I saw every day in Colombia, whether it was in a drink or on a plate, or I don't know, coming out my ears. The call to be compassionate is in the everyday. I think this sermon series on mission is really, really fantastic. We're hearing great stories of people out in Iraq and Brazil and all over the world, and it's really fantastic. But I think sometimes we can think, oh, wow, it's really great that they're doing that. Like, they're really taking one for the team of mission. But mission is in the everyday. We're called to be compassionate in our families, in the street, in everything that we do. And that's why we're called to clothe ourselves with compassion, gentleness, patience, all of those things in that verse in Colossians. So my challenge to you is to think about intentional ways that you can be compassionate in the day-to-day, who you can interact with that, and maybe there are people that others would say, oh no, you don't want to interact with them, they're a bit of an odd bunch. What you should really think is not about what other people think, but about what God is calling us to. And it doesn't have to be massive. You don't have to walk up to someone who's blind and put your hands on their eyes and say, you are healed. If you're called to do that, that's brilliant. But I think sometimes we feel a bit intimidated by these big acts and big ideas of compassion that we forget about the small ones. I think things that Forefront do already, when we provide meals for families who've recently welcomed a new baby in, that's an act of compassion, because we want to make sure that the family have one less thing to worry about, that they're cared for and loved. And that's an example of sort of physical nourishment through the idea of spiritual nourishment, the idea that they're loved and that we care for them. So my challenge to you today is to think about what can you do, how can you be more intentional in your acts of compassion day to day. And while I finish up, I'm going to play a slideshow of a couple of pictures of my time in Colombia, just so that some of you who've not been able to go to certain life groups that I've been to can have a bit more of an idea of what I've done. And in the background, I'm going to a Colombian worship song will be playing. And it's quite upbeat, and it's got a bit of a Colombian sound to it. It's not necessarily about compassion, this song, but what I really like about it is it's that it's so joyful and celebratory. And one thing that I learned while I was out in Colombia was that the Colombians really know how to celebrate God. They really know how to worship his goodness and his greatness and all that he's done for us. And I think sometimes we can be a lot better at the reflection side. So I think it's great to learn from other cultures and take a bit the good bits out of all of it. And so I knew it wouldn't be very fun to try and learn a Spanish song. So I think we can just enjoy listening to it and look at the pictures. So thank you very much.